Extra! Extra! Paddy Power pay more places on golf than any other bookie. Just log on to paddypower.com to get sinking that each way value. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ BeGambleAware.org.
Light the candle, tiger!
Hello, it's Wednesday and welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Ian Wilkinson, I'm in the chair this week, but rest assured people, the two top experts, they're on duty, and I welcome Mr. Steve Palmer and Mr. Ian McLaughlin from Paddy Power. How are we doing, gentlemen?
Yeah, very
not
well.
Too bad,
well.
Good, Steve, how's that shed? Have you settled in yet? We're 2 weeks in, aren't we?
Well, no, it's a bit cold. I got the hat on today that John Owen from Formby has given me.
Oh, bless him.
My neck is really hurting. I just got to do something about the temperature in it. But once I got that sorted, I'll be okay. But yeah, it's so cold.
So you've now been abandoned. It's the nursery, is it? Your old office?
Yeah. Tiger when he's born will be in there. There's a painter in there as we speak preparing that for Tiger. So yeah.
You're not getting involved in the old Nick Knowles stuff and, you know, transforming the room, doing a bit of painting or nothing?
No. I know my limits. And,
right.
That is one of them.
Well, I hope you're comfy in your new home, mate. I hope you're enjoying it anyway. Ian, how's your week been? Pretty good by the look of it, being that you nailed a 125-1 winner in the Puerto Rico Open last week.
That's right, yeah. The ironic thing is after that, I've been sick as a dog since the moment he called the winning putt, so it's swings and roundabouts to this. But no, it was great to see Trainer get it done. Didn't have the biggest bet on myself, though, but it'll keep the rent and bills clear for the next couple of months. So happy out with that, yeah.
So obviously there were two tournaments stateside last week, and the Puerto Rico Open wasn't on the TV. So how did you keep up with it all?
Luckily, we have kind of our streaming services and work. I got a good look at the last round. I was kind of had one screen with Mexico, one screen with Puerto Rico. I was trading Mexico. I'll be honest, I had my eyes kind of fixated a little bit more on Puerto Rico at times with Trainer. Slowly getting into the lead, Johnson Wagner kind of falling away. So yeah, he won comfortably end by three shots, and he was very clutch down the stretch. Like, he's had three wins on the lesser tours in 30 starts. He either bombs out or he wins. So luckily for me last week he got it done in the end. So
I mean, there's certainly a few bargains to be found, isn't there, on these it's a secondary event, let's face it, you know, in this sort of thing. It's less not as got a high profile as the events down Mexico way last week. So you know, what are your keys when you're looking for tournaments like that you know you can make a little inroad and perhaps find a bit of value somewhere?
Well, generally in those ones, I find that the kind of the stalwarts of the PGA Tour are going in such short prices, and for players who aren't prolific winners, going off between 16 and 33 to 1, I can cross them off at the start of the week. What I'm looking for generally in those sort of events is your young, up-and-coming, off the web.com. I think most people know that the web.com, the PGA Tour, isn't that big of a difference anymore. The web.com breeds winners, and they come onto the PGA Tour knowing how to win. Confidence is high. There's no real apprenticeship anymore on the PGA Tour from the web.com tour. So I think the market hasn't really seen that just yet. So you still get bigger price than these kind of prolific winners on lesser tours coming into lesser tournaments. So I look for those sort of things. Young up and coming players, unexposed at the on the tour. And yeah, prolific winners coming off the web.com tour.
Well, Steve, I suppose those prolific, you know, people coming off the web.com tour, they'd love to play like Dustin Johnson did last week. He tore it up in Mexico, didn't he?
Yeah, he was superb. I mean, it looks like he's using this season to slowly but surely assert himself as world number one again. I mean, the win in Saudi International was good, but the field was not fantastic there. But to destroy a WGC field in that fashion was hugely impressive. So, yeah, I think Dustin Johnson and Brooks Koepka will have the world number one battle all year. And Johnson perhaps will have the edge now. I think it's Johnson and Koepka. I'm not a huge Justin Rose fan, as you know. I think Rose might slip down the rankings and Johnson and Koepka will have it between them this year.
I'll take a quick poll with you both. What was your favourite shot this week? That 364-yard drive to 4 foot that Johnson won, or Tiger shot out the bunker?
Tiger from the bunker. Yeah. It's beautiful. The position he got himself in. The lie was a shocker, and then the reaction when it hit the green, like it just went at right angles when it hit the green. The Johnson thing, of course, is fantastic. But we've seen that a lot. We've seen him hit drives. That one at Kapalua. I haven't seen a shot like Tiger's one for a long time. It's a bit special. That
great. Yeah, you agree then, Ian?
Absolutely. Yeah, for the as Steve said, the lie, the angle. Anyone who plays golf knows it's incredibly hard to shape a golf ball with a, such a high, like a 9-iron or an 8-iron that he was using in altitude as well. You can't cut the ball that much. To formulate that sort of shot shape and get on the green and spin him back towards the hole was incredible. I was in shock for about half an hour after going, how has he actually done this? So yeah, that was the best shot of the week for me. Best shot of the year so far for me.
And out of a sandpit as well. Yeah, it was pretty good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, Rory McIlroy, he was five clear in second, five behind Johnson. And that leads us to our first Twitter question of the week. Thanks for you, for everybody for getting involved on that. And it's from Keith McCabe. And he asks, is McIlroy primed for the Masters this year? Steve?
Well, yeah, encouraging signs for sure. He finished five shots ahead of the people in third. So, really strong performance from McIlroy. But the old gremlins were there again, weren't there? There was a few sloppy wedge shots and, he missed a few tiddlers over the weekend. And, he still got that issue of playing in final groups. His record playing in final groups over the last 3 years, he always seems to come up shy now. So encouraging signs for sure. Four top five finishes to start the year is fantastic. Two of them were course debuts as well. The first two were course debuts. So yeah, he's definitely trending in the right direction, as everyone likes to say. But he just needs a win now, doesn't he? He just needs to win, ideally from the front, to get that old swagger back. Because when he hits the front now, there's a little bit of tension in the shoulders. But yeah, encouraging signs for McIlroy fans.
Yeah, Ian, he's finished in the top 10 the last five times at Augusta. He puts a hell of a lot of pressure on himself to win that one to try and complete the Grand Slam, though, doesn't he?
Absolutely, yeah. I think he was speaking at Riviera a couple of weeks ago. He's almost trying to deflect from the career Grand Slam. They're saying that Portrush, the Open of Portrush this year, is his biggest event of the year. Trying to deflect that, as Steve said, that tension on the shoulders coming to Augusta, because the career Grand Slam, there's only been five players to do it. He'll become the sixth in the history of the game. That's obviously, history weighs heavy on your shoulders, and that's the heaviest weight of them all, probably. So yeah, he's trying to deflect it. I like what he's doing. He's concentrating on America. He's taken away from Europe. He's not gone to the Middle East. He's kind of priming himself for American golf this year. And his first target is Augusta. And as Steve said, he's trending really nicely towards that.
Yeah, he's definitely seems to be heading in the right direction. Now, the second question is from Mark Matthews. And he's going back to a story that was pretty big a couple of weeks ago when Matt Kuchar had his issues about paying the caddy at the Mayakoba Classic. So he says, at which point is it okay to start liking Kuchar again? I was delighted to see him implode at the weekend. Yet, but for all this nonsense, he was a player always rooted for from a neutral perspective. I don't know quite how you root for a golfer from a neutral perspective anyway. I mean, it's usually the ones who've got my money on that I'll be rooting for. But when can we fall in love with Kuchar again, Steve?
Never forgive a tight ass. I've got a very long memory on these sort of things. So until he finds a cure for cancer, I won't consider it.
Okay, so you're not setting the bar too high then. Ian, what are your thoughts?
I'll be a little bit more forgiving, but it'd be a long time before I start supporting him again, because that was just a very sorry episode altogether, with this whole management company offering more money and then people going, oh, what a good gesture you had to give it to him after being basically dragged through the media by the players there. And it was his last resort being forced to do that. I don't think he was out with the goodness of his heart. So yeah, it'd be a long time before I support Kuchar again.
Right, well, sorry then, Mark. Yeah, you got to wait a little bit while then before you can get back with Kuchar. And next one is from Sean. Skip 10-12-16. Now, this is quite an interesting one. What are the chances of a worldwide tour being formed in the near future, with the European tour then becoming like the web.com tour feeding it? Now, it's a funny time of year, isn't it, on the European tour, because before we've got sort of 6 weeks before the Masters, and the tournaments are in Oman, Qatar, Kenya, Malaysia and India, which is the same week as the WGC match play. So there's not many high profile tournaments at the moment. Do you think, Steve, that the talking down of the European tour is something that tends to happen in the spring and it's not given a chance to kick on? Or do you really think there are problems about the status of the game over the side of the pond?
Yeah, I think there are problems, I'm afraid. I think Keith Pelly, the European Tour boss, said he was in conceptual talks, didn't he, with his US counterparts at the end of last year. So conceptual talks about a worldwide tour. I think the European Tour is probably not doing very well financially. And I can easily see the European Tour over the next few years disappearing. Yeah, it pains me to say it. You know, I've grown up the European Tour. I love it. But I can see the Worldwide Tour taking over, which will obviously be bossed by the PGA Tour chiefs. Sad to say, but yeah, I think it will happen. Yeah,
I mean, Ian, they're doing lots of. We've had lots of experiments with shot clock challenges and golf sixes and Belgian knockout. They're all on the schedule this year, and it just seems that there's not. It's fallen victim, perhaps, to the calendar changes. Moving the USPGA, have pushed things around a bit, and the Ryder Cup is the thing that's keeping it going at the moment. I think if the Ryder Cup qualification aspect of the European Tour went, then it would really be in serious trouble. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. As Steve said, yeah, it's sad to see, and it's sad to say that probably I would say maximum 5 years we're going to have a World Tour with the European Tour obviously being changed and reformatted to probably some sort of a feeder tour. But yeah, cash is king these days. The PGA Tour seems to just be a juggernaut. Relentless. It can get great fields every week and get prize money every week. It just keeps on rolling. Where the European Tour is kind of stagnating in parts of the year. I know they have a great end of season now when the PGA Tour playoffs finish in August. They have like the likes of Wentworth, all the Rolex Series events kind of start coming on. They've increased the prize money at the end of the season in Dubai to get a big better field and stuff like that. So they're still trying their best to kind of attract the best fields. But as you said, there's those big gaps, like from February to the Masters. There's just not really anything going on. So yeah, as Steve said, I think there'll be a worldwide tour sooner rather than later.
Okay, so we've got two more questions left, both concerning individual golfers. So I'll give you one each. Ian, you can go first. Lucas Cash Beast. He says, your thoughts, please, on the ground, Cameron Champ, and which courses will suit him in the coming months? He's gone a bit quiet, hasn't he?
He's gone a little bit quiet, but I'd keep the faith with him 100%. Like, it's just some of the courses I've been shackling him a little bit. Like, he's going to, looking down the schedule, like, the courses are going to start opening up a bit more in terms of length, and you're going to need your driver. You're going to be a strong driver of the golf ball. If he plays the Arnold Palmer next week, I could like him around there. But again, you're just looking for courses. If you're looking for over 7,300 yards, those sort of places with a little bit of room off the tee, he can really take advantage there. And he's still playing okay. He's just not putting four rounds together. He has three great rounds and one poor round and stuff like that. So I just keep him courses where length is going to be an advantage. He automatically enters your top process there. So,
well, he's only 23, and you know, perhaps he's set the bar a bit high.
Exactly.
There's a couple of tournaments later in the there's a couple of tournaments in the summer that I think he'll be pinpointing old Champ, because obviously his disadvantage at the moment is lack of course experience. You know, as a rookie, people are expecting too much from him, I think. But in the summer, you've got the Rocket Mortgage Classic. That's a new one. The Rocket Mortgage Classic, and then you got the 3M Open after that. So those two, new terrain for everyone, level playing field. You know, the Champ could make hay there.
Okay, that's great. And Steve, finally, the last question of the week, Jack Etherington. Who are you backing for the Masters Majors this year? Well, you'll have to wait on that one. Any of the four courses in particular that suit Brooks Koepka? You were anticipating a big season for him.
Yeah, we did have a little long-range forecast of the majors at the start of the year. We're looking for like a life-changing acca. Went for John Rahm in the Masters, Brooks Koepka in the USPGA, Dustin Johnson in the US Open, and Tiger Woods in the Open. Mm. It's obviously a very speculative long-range attack, but yeah, I'd still give all of them a very good chance. So yeah, I think if you're looking at Brooks Koepka, I think the USPGA is a big chance for him. Bethpage Black is more of a US Open venue, the modern king of the US Open. The modern king of the US Open is Brooks Koepka. So, I can see Koepka. I can see Koepka doing well in every major. But, the USPGA probably his best chance.
That's great. OK, well, thanks ever so much again for your questions on Twitter this week. And after the break, we'll be diving into this week's action with having a look at the Honda Classic and the Oman Open.
Friends, or maybe more, earn a 20 quid free bet for every friend you refer to Paddy Power thanks to our Friends with Benefits programme. Log in to your Paddy Power account and share your referral link to get started. Terms and conditions apply. 18+ begambleaware.org.
Be the right club today!
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast this week. I'm Ian Wilkerson, and I'm joined, as ever, by Racing Post Golf guru Steve Palmer and Paddy Power's Ian McLaughlin in Dublin. And this week, the PGA Tour moves across to Florida for the first tournament of the Florida Swing, the Honda Classic. So, Steve, Honda Classic this week. Can you give us a bit of background, mate? What can we expect?
Yeah, it's the start of the Florida swing. We can leave the Poana greens behind. I think a lot of the players are pleased to get off the Poana in California and in Mexico last week. Much better putting surfaces to enjoy over the next few weeks. The champion course at PGA National is tough. It's always one of the toughest non-major tracks on the schedule. Winning score of 6 under par or worse has won on 3 occasions. It's been used since 2007. And major champions typically thrive in these difficult conditions. We've had 4 of the last 7 winners were major champions.
Yeah. And can you give us a quick show, please, Ian?
Yeah, sure. So 8 places this week at the Honda. Justin Thomas heads up betting at 5-1. Ricky Fowler next in at 10-1, along with Brooks Koepka at 10-1. Sergio Garcia 14-1. Adam Scott 16-1. Gary Woodland 16-1. Webb Simpson 18-1 and 25-1 bar.
It's a pretty packed leaderboard then. And so Ian, you can go first, mate. Who's your fancy?
Yeah, I'm taking on most of the front end this week. The top tip is Jason Kokrak. As I said, moving away from the front end of the market, having a really solid start to the 2019 PGA Tour season. 3 top 20s in a row were followed up by a solid 37th place at the Genesis. Looking through his stats for the week, he struck the ball really well, ranking in the top 15 in all the respective ball striking stats. Doesn't have the best record at the Honda, but some of his best finishes on the PGA Tour have come in the state of Florida. I think he continues this trend, sorry, this week, and will be my main bet at 66-1.
Right, okay, Steve, where are you going, mate?
Well, I don't know why anyone cares what I think. Ian's the man in form. I think he's been very modest about last week. Truly one of the best tips I've ever seen in the golf game in all my years. It was absolutely inspired. But if anyone does care what I think, no worries, mate. Honestly, it's absolutely brilliant, brilliant tip. But I think Gary Woodland is the best bet of the Honda Classic. Arguably the best ball striker in the world at the moment, just so consistent. Absolutely robbed at the start of the year at Kapalua. Hyundai Tournament of Champions, he dominated that event, but then Xander Schauffele fired a fine around 62 to nab Woodland on the line. Woodland didn't do anything wrong. Since then, finished 9th at Torrey Pines, finished 7th in the Phoenix Open, and last week he finished 17th in Mexico after a really strong weekend. So his game just looks in fantastic shape. He lives in Florida and seems to play well at this time of the year. Seems to produce his best golf at this time of the year. He won the 2011 Transitions Championship. Tough one to get out of that. That was his maiden US Tour title. So his maiden US Tour title came in Florida. He's got some Honda form too. Finished 6th in 2011, 2nd to Ricky Fowler in 2017. I find it very hard to think of a reason why Gary Woodland plays badly this week. He looks a surefire contender to me.
Excellent. Now, Justin Thomas, he finished like a train last week. 5-1. Bit short, isn't it? Ian?
I think he's around the right price. Will I back him at that price? No. Would I want to be laying him too much at that price? Probably not either. I think he's playing some really fantastic golf at the moment. Obviously, he won last year here, beating Luke List in the playoff. As Steve said, major champions flourish here. Obviously, major champion. The tee to green test will suit him as well. Fairies and greens. No one's really better than that at the moment than Thomas. So, yeah, I think he's around the right price. I wouldn't want to be laying him too much. And he doesn't really tempt me from a betting perspective at 5-1.
Yeah, I'm probably still fuming that I put him up a couple of weeks ago and he blew that 4-shot lead. But there you go. Yeah. You know, it's easy to get personal about these sort of things, folks. You know, it happens to everybody. Anybody else a bit further down the list, Ian, that you think could go well this week?
Yeah, I have 2 more bigger prices. The next one is Jim Furyk. Taking a speculative play on Furyk this week, I was encouraged by his last 2 starts. His 14th place finish at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am. He ranked in the top 5 in the strokes gained tee to green stats. Last time out in the Genesis, he ranked 2nd in driving accuracy, 13th in greens regulation, 15th in scrambling. Hasn't played the Honda too much, but looks to be returning to form. I think the test will suit him, as I mentioned. Ferries and greens are the key this week. I think he's worth a small each way play around 100-1. And the outsider is Taylor Gooch. He's the last one this week. I have has started the 2019 season very well. 2 top 5 finishes, 4th in the Desert Classic and 3rd at the Farmers Insurance Open. A miscut at the Pebble Beach Pro-Am can be forgiven, open with 2 rounds of 69 before 78 in terrible conditions. Another player whose tee to green game looked in really good working order. He'll complete my lineup at 150-1 this week.
Lovely. Furyk, it's not going to be an issue that he can't hit 300 yards off the tee this week then?
Not really, no. I don't think so. It's not going to be too windy either. So I think he can nudge his way around and keep himself in contention. I think he's a nice each-way play with the extra places.
Okay, Steve, who are your others?
My next best is Billy Horschel. We've got a nappy factor here. I know you're a big fan of the nappy factor.
Oh,
here.
Absolutely. Not a great fan of nappies, but a fan of nappy factor, yeah.
He had his first son. He's had his first son at the start of this month. Axel Horschel is his name. Axel Horschel, fantastic name. He must be a Guns N' Roses fan, I think. They got at least
a superhero in waiting, by the sound of it, yeah.
Absolutely. So, typically after a first son, a golfer becomes inspired. We've seen good examples of that. Danny Willett winning the Masters and whatnot. So I think Horschel's in a good frame of mind. He's a Florida man through and through. He's born and bred and still lives there in Florida. He's desperate to get that first home state victory. And he's finished eighth and fourth in the Honda over the last 3 years. He's been threatening in this tournament. His practice base is Sawgrass. You know, this is a perfect fit for him, this course. The way he finished last season, fantastic in the FedEx Cup playoffs. He finished third in two of the early playoff events and then was runner-up to Tiger Woods in the Tour Championship. This season, he's already finished ninth at Torrey Pines. So, yeah, I think Billy Horschel, fantastic fit for the Honda Classic.
Okay, any others?
Then I've got two more, four against the field. Another Floridian, Daniel Berger. He lives 20 minutes from this course. He won a top junior event on this track in 2009. Finished runner-up to Padraig Harrington in 2015 on his Honda Classic debut. Lost a playoff there. He plays well on tough par 70s. Both of his US Tour victories have come in the St. Jude Classic on a tough par 70. He lost the 2017 Travelers Championship to Jordan Spieth on a tough par 70. And crucially, last week, finished second in the Puerto Rico Open, closed with a 66, had been struggling with a wrist injury, and he reported himself last week as fully fit for the first time in ages. So, looks like the burger is back. The burger is returning. So it's good news for you, Wilco. I know you like a burger.
Well, I did like him. I did like him when I put him up at 125-1 when he lost in that playoff to Harrington, who's obviously done pretty much bugger all since. So that was a bit of a shame, really. But I see you like a South African Masters champion as well.
One more, Charles Schwartzel. Palm Beach is his base when he's playing stateside. So again, he's got some local ties. And Lightberger played well in Puerto Rico last week, finished sixth last week, closed with a 66, bogey free. So he went to Puerto Rico to try and find his game art. He was in a bit of a slump and he did find it. Putted really well, finished seventh on the putting stats last week. And all his best work, apart from that famous Masters victory, all his best stateside work has come in Florida. He played well at Doral in Miami when the WGC was staged at Doral. He won the Valspar Championship in 2016, finished runner-up in the Players' Championship at Sawgrass last year. So he seems to come alive in Florida. Yeah. And if he has got his game back, which last week's spin suggests, Schwartzel were a massive price, yeah.
That's excellent. Okay then, folks, so that's the stateside action sorted, hopefully, for you for next week. So after the break, we'll be heading to the Middle East.
Here at Paddy Power, we're the home of the Money Back Special, with some incredible offers every single week. Check out the website or app today. Terms and conditions apply. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Oh, baby.
Hello and welcome to the Racing Post Golf Postcast. I'm Ian Wilkerson, and as always, I'm joined by our golf guru, Steve Palmer from his Weymouth shed, and Ian McLaughlin from Paddy Power. We're going to look at the European Tour event this week. It's quite a low profile one. The Oman Open, I'll put my teeth in Muscat. So Steve, can you just fill us in with sort of like a bit of background information on what sort of test we might anticipate this week?
Yeah, we got Almuj Golf, Greg Norman designed golf course, hosted a challenge tour event from 2013 to 2017. And then the inaugural Oman Open was last year. Generous fairways, quite long, large undulating greens, typically gets quite breezy, but the forecast is not for much wind this week. So you're looking for desert rats. You know, we play a lot of European Tour golf in the Middle East now.
Yeah, we do. We play a lot of golf. As you say, we play a lot of golf in the Middle East on the European Tour now. What represents a sort of like a typical desert test, and how would this one compare to the rest of them?
A lot of them are very generous off the tee. I think this course is probably most similar to the Qatar Masters, which they play every year. We've got that one coming later in the year. But yeah, I think we're looking at a score of around 20 under par, I think, because I don't think there's going to be much wind. So a fairly easy test. But I'm looking for bombers who putt well. And that takes me nicely to my number one selection.
Excellent. Well, we'll touch on that in a second once we've had a show from here. You've mentioned that it's the Qatar Masters, quite a similar sort of test. So we could have a few pointers for that because we're off there next week, aren't we? So, Ian, can you give us a show, please, mate?
Yes, seven places this week in Oman. Juice Luton heads are betting at 10-1. Thomas Peters next in at 11-1. Alexander Levy 20-1. Ross Fisher 25-1. Jordan Smith 25-1. Justin Harding 28-1. Thomas Dietrich 30-1 and 33-1 bar.
Okay, then Steve, you can go first this time, mate.
Yeah, I thought Clement Sauday was the best bet. That was a bit of early 80-1. I thought it was a bonkers price. He shouldn't even be half that, in my opinion. This is a proven winner at Challenge Tour level. He's won four times on the Challenge Tour. And yeah, this Oman Open, let's not beat around the bush. It's not a prestigious gathering. It's nothing for Sauday to fear in this field. The last of his Challenge Tour wins came at Al Muj Golf. He won the 2017 Challenge Tour Grand Final on this course. It's a perfect fit for him. As I say, powerful, good putter. He's just had a week off, freshening himself up for it. Prior to that, had a fortnight in Australia, finished eighth in the Vic Open, and finished ninth in the 54-hole stroke play element of the World Super 6. So he's found his game at the perfect times for his big chance, really. This is his best chance of the year. Good record in Asia. And, yeah, Clement Sauday should go well at a nice price.
OK, so what's your top pick then, Ian?
My top pick is Marcus Kinholt. He was having a relatively quiet start to the 2019 European Tour season, but I was very encouraged by his 18th place finish in the Saudi International last time out. His tee to green figures are very strong, always a decent field. His recent form is looking to be back, and this links up well with his course form at Al Muj. He was second in the NBO Golf Classic Grand Final on the Challenge Tour in 2017. He came here last year and was 16th on the Oman Open debut on the course, we will say, in the Verda Commons. Third round, 74, the only blemish in a good week. With his game shaping up and then coming to a course he obviously likes, he'll be my main bet this week at around 40-1.
Okay, so it's a bit like, I mean, you obviously chopped it off at Puerto Rico last week. This is a secondary sort of event. It's not very high profile. So would you be sort of like following the same recipe of looking for up-and-coming players that people at the top of the list might be a little bit short?
Yes, exactly. Trying to look like Kinholt to be kind of tick the boxes as a young, improving player. And obviously with the back course form from the Challenge Tour and last year as well, a little bit more, you can look a little bit deeper into that as well. Guys who played well on the Challenge Tour events here coming in now to the European Tour cycle, probably being priced up a little bit bigger than they should be. That's the way I'd be looking at it anyway.
Okay. Steve, got anybody else?
Yeah. Next best is Thomas Peters. I just can't resist him. And he's been a frustrating player to follow. He's got a fiery temperament. He can go from the sublime to the ridiculous. But I have to give him one more chance around here. I think this course is perfect for him. It massively plays to his strengths. He's a proven desert rat. He got a fantastic record in the Abu Dhabi Championship. Arguably the most talented player in the field. And one of the most motivated as well, because he's not in the Masters field yet. He's 79th in the world rankings. He often lets his focus slip in the lesser events. But I think he'll know that this is potentially a stepping stone to the green jacket, because if he does get to Augusta, we know he can contend round there. He knows he can win round Augusta. He finished fourth there in 2017, and he really needs to up his game now to get a place at the Masters. He's had eight top 30s in a row. His game has been coming around. He just hasn't been able to string four rounds together. He fired a 62 in the Turkish Airlines Open. He fired a 63 in Saudi Arabia in his last trip to the Middle East. I just need to show up for 4 days, and I think this is a good opportunity to do so. Yeah, Peters has cost me a fair bit of money over the last few months, but one last chance of redemption for him.
Yeah, I put him up at the World Six at Perth the other week, and he was playing really well, and then just couldn't quite get over the line. Where else are you going, Ian? And anything else a bit further down the list?
Yeah, a couple more a bit further down. First one is Ricardo Gouveia. As I said, taking two more bigger prices. He had a very solid finish to 2018. He was 9th at the British Masters, 16th at the Andalusian Masters, and 20th at the Hong Kong Open. His last two starts were miscuts in Australia, where the courses didn't really suit his kind of power game. Means we're getting a nice price, in my opinion, in the course where he is back class. Was 9th in the Challenge Tour event at Al Muj in 2014. The following year, he won the NBO Golf Grand classic grand final on the same course. I think he's a nice each way player around 125-1 this week. And the last one is an outsider, Kim Koivu, taking a speculative play on this week. A graduate from a strong class in the Challenge Tour last year, has already put up some decent performances in the European Tour, seventh at the Portugal Masters, and ninth place finish at the Hong Kong Open being the highlights. I think he's a talented player, should have a strong year on tour. I'll take a chance on him this week at 250-1.
Sorry, that's Kim who? Sorry, mate.
Kim Koivu. K-O-I-V-U.
Okay. Oh yes, sorry. Got a bit deaf in my old age. Steve, anything? Any others to add to the mix?
Yeah, I've got three more. Marcus Kinholt is supported by both me and Ian this week. That's the only one we both got. Nothing to add on him, but you know, really promising Swede. I think he's following in the footsteps of Cameron Smith in a way. Cameron Smith really impressed me last week in Mexico, and a similarly neat and tidy player, Kinholt. I can see him becoming the new Cameron Smith. And then Matthias Schwab is the other one. Austrian player, another neat and tidy Austrian player. He finished 14th at Almuge in the 2017 Grand Final. He's had a really solid rookie campaign last year. Four top tens last season in his opening season on the European Tour. Started this season with ninth place in Hong Kong. So, I think Matthias Schwab is a winner waiting to happen on the European Tour. This looks a golden chance. And the final one at much, much bigger prices was Max Orrin. Max Orrin is... he was Almuge champion in 2014, and he's finished 7th and 15th in his two subsequent starts on this course. So, he's just come off a decent Challenge Tour campaign. He knows he can win around this track. He's only 24, still improving. So, that was the biggest price fancy I had, Max Orrin. Not to be confused with Max Oram, who is a Racing Post colleague who I do not fancy for this tournament at all.
No, I wouldn't be putting any money on Max Orrin to win this. Max Orrin, no, that could be a decent shout at 150-1. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. I'll just run through who we've got then for this week for the Honda Classic. Ian likes Jason Cochrane, Jim Furyk and Taylor Gooch, while Steve's all over Gary Woodland, Billy Horshaw, Daniel Berger and Charles Schwartzel. And then in the Middle East, Ian likes Marcus Kinholt, Ricardo Guaiva and Kim Koivu, while Steve's going for Clemens Sorde, Thomas Peters, Kinholt again, Matthias Schwab and Max Orrin. Well, thank you very much, gentlemen. Wish you all the best with your golf punting this week. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back next week for another golf postcast, and we'll be looking at more European Tour action with the Commercial Bank Qatar Masters, and it's the Arnold Palmer Invitational in the PGA. So hopefully we'll have a few more winners to celebrate on that occasion, just like Ian's winner at Puerto Rico last week. It will be the football on Thursday, football postcast, don't miss that. And then on Friday, Dave Orton's in the chair for the Racing Postcast, which is going to be looking at the racing from Newbury, Doncaster and Kelso. And of course, Cheltenham's only around the corner, so there's plenty of racing chat to be had over the next few days. I've been Ian Wilkinson. I hope you've really enjoyed this week's Golf Postcast, and we'll see you next week.
Right, 10 seconds to promote Paddy Power Games. Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games, Paddy Power Games. Advertising. It's easy when you know how. Paddy Power. Enough of the nonsense. 18+, begambleaware.org.
Give them the horn!